Studio 360.
The sound working? I can hear you. Can you hear us?
From the time my parents were young, lefties have been strumming acoustic guitars, and liberal politicians still turn to old folk music standards when they're preaching to the choir.
Shall we sing "This Land Is Your Land" again until they get the sound working?
This land is your land. This land is my land.
That is House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi stalling for time during a protest of Trump's immigration ban. And she wasn't the only one singing Woody Guthrie recently.
This land is your land. This land is my land.
Lady Gaga kicked off the Super Bowl halftime show the same way. And commentators saw that as a kind of soft anti-Trump gesture. Folk music and left politics do go together like Ben and Jerry, but producer Richard Paul discovered a little-known other side of the folk revival of the 1960s.
You're a public radio listener, so it's safe to say you know all about folk music. In the early 60s, folk singers took the people's songs and used them as a weapon to attack the problems of the day.
When I was young, it seemed to me the whole wide world would soon be free. But communism is on the rise, and Satan has a new disguise.
Folk singers energized America's youth by reaching them in their own language.
We wanted to reach young people, college people. I thought the songs and the music was letting people know things that they probably didn't know. It was educating people through music.
In darkness underground.
And most of all, in the 60s, folk singers spoke truth to power.
The leaders of the left wing, they know their day has passed. America's awake now, and Barry's rising fast. Get along home, left wingers, get along home. Get along home.
I think I know what you're thinking at this point. Holy Birkenstock, what the hell was that? Right-wing folk singers? How did I get through the 60s without knowing about right-wing folk singers? Well, to be fair, you were pretty high at the time.
It's such a perverse, against-the-grain kind of genre.
Bill Gearhart runs a website called Connellrad that deals with pop culture from the Cold War and has a whole section that proves right-wing folk singing wasn't just the plot of a Tim Robbins movie.
You have this movie that came out in 92 called Bob Roberts, you know, that Tim Robbins did. And I think a lot of people who saw that movie thought that that was a complete invention.
Turns out it wasn't.
Come listen, good people, so free and so brave. There's a danger a-coming, and it plans to enslave. It has captured 1 billion with deception and lies. That muffles their cries.
That's Janet Green, who was billed as the anti-Joan Baez.
I had nothing against her personally. I thought she had a beautiful voice. I was just as good or better.
Inch by inch and mile by mile, such a little country seems hardly worthwhile.
I know you've never heard of Janet Green or The Spokesman or Vera Vanderlaan, but they had their moment. Janet Green sang for 5,000 people once at Cobo Hall in Detroit. And one time, she sang the national anthem at a rally at Knott's Berry Farm, where the Pledge of Allegiance was read by Ronald Reagan, and the MC was John Wayne.
First time I met John Wayne, it startled me because he picked me up and kissed me, and he said, I just had to kiss you because you're so cute. And I thought, well, I've been kissed by John Wayne. How about that? I never expected that to happen.
Folk music reached its peak in the early 60s. Hootenanny was the number 2 rated program on ABC in 1964, the year that Lyndon Johnson ran against Arizona Senator Barry Goldwater for president.
When conservatives saw fresh-faced young wasps on Hootenanny, it suddenly became more acceptable. And I think that was one of the reasons why they embraced or tried to use folk music to their ends.
Especially during that presidential campaign, right-wing folk singers offered a special energy to their base.
It was a fun political campaign and drew hundreds of thousands of more people into active young conservative activity.
That's Jameson Campaign, one of the founders of Young Americans for Freedom, the group that provided first the shoe leather and then the intellectual firepower for Barry Goldwater, Ronald Reagan, Newt Gingrich, and George W. Bush.
I think probably you could call us squares, but so what? We knew we were right.
They knew they were, but nobody else did. In 64, you could hardly find the right wing on the American political scene. Nelson Rockefeller's people controlled the Republican Party. The liberals controlled the Congress and the White House.
We have the opportunity to move not only toward the rich society and the powerful society, but upward to the great society.
And the media.
To say that we are closer to victory today is to believe, in the face of the evidence, the optimists who have been wrong in the past.
But while left-wing youth were tuning in, turning on, and dropping out, the Young Americans for Freedom were plotting and organizing to undo the New Deal. And when they'd kick back at the end of the day, often as not, the music they'd turn to would be folk music.
Oh, what have you done, left wing, left wing? Oh, what have you done for our country?
Well, we've raised the national debt.
Yeah, it's going higher yet.
That is a group called the Goldwaters. They appeared around the country at Goldwater for President rallies, singing goofy songs and doing patter like the Smothers Brothers. Their one and only album was titled The Goldwaters Sing Songs to Bug the Liberals.
They were upbeat and positive and made fun of Bobby Kennedy and LBJ. And if you'd not heard them 100 times before, it was a lot of fun.
Hang down your head left, wingers, hang down your head and cry. Take one last look at the White House before you say goodbye.
The Young Americans for Freedom even had their own songbook called Folk Songs for Conservatives.
A lot of the songs we sang were drinking songs adapted from England and Ireland and Scotland.
Hang Earl Warren to a sour apple tree. His impeachment still won't fill the bill for folks like you and me. We'll soon cast off the yoke of his judicial tyranny as we go charging on.
Well, if you were out working in the rain and delivering campaign literature or working summer jobs to save up money to fly to San Francisco for the convention, I think it plays a lot of roles. A sense of elan, a sense of comradeship, entertainment, lubricated by a little beer,
Won't you come home, Bill Buckley? Won't you come home? From the establishment. Don't pal with Norman Mailer. Don't sup with Rez. Please give them up for land. Wow, wow, wow.
There's a Tom Lehrer routine from around this time where he talks about folk songs of protest. You have to admire folk singers, he says.
Songs. It takes a certain amount of courage to get up in a college auditorium and come out in favor of the things that everybody else in the audience is against, like peace and justice and brotherhood and so on.
He's right. Singing left-wing folk songs? Come on. That was easy. But this was hard.
Put a yellow streak da, 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 da. Down my son's back. Da, 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 da. Make sure that he da, da, da. Never ever fights back. Da, 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 da. At his physical. Da, da, da. Have him say he's gay.
Da, la, la, la.
Have him win.
Da, 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 da.
Richard Paul produced that piece.